From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. President Trump's infrastructure proposal seems to be going nowhere quickly. But one reluctant futurist says we need an infrastructure overhaul, and it may be one of the only things that can bridge our political divides. That honor certainly won't go to research on gun violence. Later this hour, the person who founded the CDC's Center for Injury Prevention and Control talks about the need for more gun research. And a new walking guide to Walden Pond provides insights into the life and writings of Henry David Thoreau. We start this week with our monthly check-in with our friends at the journal Nature. Joining me from their London office is multimedia editor Shamini Bundell. Shamini, astronomers think they've detected a signal from some of the oldest stars in the universe, a period known as the cosmic dawn. But it's not exactly the light itself that they've detected. So what have they found?
Yeah, so they were looking for the light from the first stars. I think cosmic dawn is such a lovely phrase. It's because they were the first stars that ever came into existence in the universe. And in order to look at that, you know, they could just look for the faint light, the photons that came from those stars. But, you know, it's such a long time ago. That's a very, very faint signal. So they have been looking for quite some time now for a slightly different signal. And it's a signal from early hydrogen in the universe. And it's a signal often called the 21-centimetre line because it was a specific frequency that hydrogen in the early universe would have absorbed. So we're not looking for light from the first stars. We're looking for light that was absorbed by hydrogen that's been removed from the general background radiation that came from the Big Bang. So it's kind of a little dip that we're looking for in the light.
And scientists do say they think they have detected this fingerprint. Why is that important? What do they learn from detecting that fingerprint?
Well, this is a super old signal. So we know about the Big Bang, right? 13.8 billion years ago produced a bunch of radiation. We can see that. After that, it's a bit of a difficult period to study. So any signal from that time is obviously going to tell us something. And this particular dip can tell us a couple of particular things. So firstly, it can tell us when this cosmic dawn was. When did these first stars come about? And the way it can do that is because we look for that 21-centimetre line dip, and then we look for how much the electromagnetic waves have stretched out as they've travelled across the expanding universe to get to us now. And that tells us how long ago that point was, and that's the start of the dip when the first stars were. And it can also tell us the end of the dip can tell us about another change that happened when the hydrogen atoms were able when the hydrogen atoms stopped being able to absorb this light. So those are some really important bits of evidence to help us understand what was going on in the universe way back then.
And it could also be evidence of dark matter, the first time, in fact, that anything other than the gravitational effects of dark matter have been detected, right?
Yeah, so that's a really exciting idea. So they've been looking for this signal, this 21-centimetre line. They found it. They checked that it was right. They were like, great, yes, we've got it. But it was too big. It was twice as big. It was only a tiny dip, but it was twice as big as any of their sort of maths and models says it should be. So, right, they've got this puzzle, like, why on earth is this dip not what we were expecting? And one possible explanation, and it's not the only one, and it's not confirmed, but there is an idea that could this be a signal of dark matter? And the dark matter interacting with the gas in the early universe is what's throwing all our maths out.
Well, all of this excitement, though, is based, as you just said, on something that has not yet been confirmed. How big an if is this right now?
Well, when the signal was first spotted, even the scientists who found it were really skeptical. They wanted to double check and triple check their results. They built a whole nother second antenna to check it. They checked different parts of the sky. They wanted to be really sure that they weren't just detecting, you know, a signal from, you know, a radio in a car that was driving nearby. They had to be really sure. And the other scientist who came along has sort of been thinking about dark matter. He said he was really skeptical at first. He was like, I'm not sure about this, but I guess I'll have a think about it. So although, yes, there is still confirmation to be done, they have certainly in the dip itself, they've done a lot of checking. The dark matter, you know, that's still just an idea, and that will need a lot more sort of evidence. But they've got plans to check some more, to do some more experiments. Other telescopes, other radio telescopes are going to be looking for the same signal to quadruple check their findings. So it shouldn't actually be too long before we get some more news on this.
All right, shifting gears, but a story that is almost as bizarre here. Researchers have been using flashing lights and something called pink noise to try to alter brainwaves, maybe they think a way to treat diseases like Alzheimer's disease. I mean, is this for real?
It sounds crazy, doesn't it? And I think even, you know, the scientists who were initially testing weren't quite expecting the strength of their results. And the initial experiment that they did sounds slightly crazy as well. They had some mice that have been engineered to have sort of Alzheimer's-like plaques in their brain. This is to study Alzheimer's disease. And they put them in a box with some flashing strobe lights, so basically a tiny disco for mice. And they found that the plaques in their brain, this sign of Alzheimer's, had actually decreased when they exposed them to 1 hour of disco a day.
Well, that sounds like a fun way to treat Alzheimer's, perhaps. And what about pink noise? What is the pink noise? I mean, I've heard of white noise, but never pink noise.
Well, the idea of the disco lights, the strobe lights, at a certain frequency is that they should be able to affect brain waves in our brain. And so the idea with the noise is that just like light could affect the frequency, so could noise. And you know, it might even depend on whereabouts in the brain the area that's being targeted is. And both of these things are thought to change the pattern of brain waves. And we know that brain waves do seem to change their pattern if you have a particular disease like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. And it's kind of mysterious. People don't quite know what the link is. You know, how do brain waves exactly affect these conditions? And why does altering the brain waves seem to have an effect on physical symptoms of those conditions? But both of these options are possible treatments. And they're kind of really exciting treatments because they don't involve cutting people open. They don't involve giving people drugs. They sound really simple. So if they work, that could be really exciting.
But again, some big ifs there. The whole field of brain waves and understanding how brain waves are connected to behaviors or to diseases has been, you know, a bit of a mystery and somewhat controversial. Where is this research headed and how much scrutiny is it getting?
Well, yeah, when I've been reading up on brainwaves, it definitely sounds like something that the neuroscientists aren't fully to grips with yet, which means that although the experiments, the results might work, we don't necessarily know what's behind it. And a really, really big factor in this is these experiments at the moment are being done in mice. Now, lots of, obviously, medical research is done in mice. And one of the scientists that Nature interviewed for a feature said he used to tell people, you know, if you're going to get Alzheimer's, make sure you're a mouse. Because there are loads of treatments that seem to work on mice. But when you try them in humans, you know, something goes wrong. The human clinical trials don't work. But human clinical trials, obviously, a next step. And with this, as I said, lights, noise, it's not as invasive. It's potentially not as dangerous as things like drugs. So some clinical trials are underway. And I guess we're all just waiting to see if their results will be successful.
That is Shamini Bundell. She is a multimedia editor with the journal Nature. Shamini, thanks so much.
Thanks, Heather.